Father, we do ask so much that the Lord Jesus would speak. We do pray, Father, that in spite of tiredness, will you help us to hear him well? Please, would you cause us to be good sheep who hear the shepherd's voice? So we do ask for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here. A few weeks ago, if you guys remember, we had this IGG Workers Wednesday evening. And I asked you a question, maybe two questions. And the first was, what was your agenda for 2020? And what is your agenda or purpose for 2025? And you might be interested, some of you guys, or a lot of you guys, wrote about your jobs. But most of it was about surviving your jobs or thinking about changing jobs. A number of us talked about having better routines this year. Sleeping earlier, that was one of mine. Sleeping earlier, starting a day earlier. Getting better routines this year. Many of us talk about relationships as well, supporting your families, getting close to people here in church. And encouragingly, many of us talked about growing spiritually over this year, reading your Bible more, spending more time with the IGG family. How about 2025? A number of you talk about plans for the long term. Are you going to stay here in London or are you going to go back home? Some of you talked about getting married in 5 years' time, and some of you talked about spending more time with your family, sustaining meaningful relationships. I hope you don't mind me quoting you, but one of you wrote something for 10 years, the plan for 10 years, and it was these things. Teach my baby, play mahjong. And so things, I'm not sure whether there were two separate goals, right? So the first is to teach your baby, and the second is for yourself to play mahjong. Or is it to teach your baby to play mahjong? And I'm not sure, but if it's the latter, I mean, that's really admirable, that goal. But aside from like thinking about these questions, I want to ask you, how do we go about making these decisions in life? How do you make plans for the future? How do you know which decisions are important? And one of you captured this idea really well. I actually brought it here with me. It's over here. I'm not sure which one of you wrote this. But you said in 2020 is to know the purpose of my life. And in 2025 is to pursue the purpose of my life. So let me ask you, what should be the purpose of your life? I mean, if you call yourself a Christian, my assumption is that you would call Jesus Lord and King. And we all know that one day he will come back to restore this world. But what is his agenda now? What is Jesus doing in the world today? How is he going to bring back the restoration of all things? And as a follower of Jesus, I want his agenda to be my agenda. And so there are a couple of things being thrown around about what Jesus' agenda is. Some people say Jesus' agenda is your progress in life. So if you want to have a better life, go to Jesus. If you want to improve your career, go to Jesus. If you want to improve your relationships, go to Jesus. Maybe one reason why you should be suspicious about that is because that really sounds like your government's agenda. I did a bit of Googling, finding out about different anthems and pledges. One of your national anthems says to be united and to progress. Another says march on. And another pledge says, so as to achieve happiness, prosperity, and progress for our nation. So something's gone wrong, I'm going to suggest, if Jesus' agenda sounds like your government's agenda. So what is it? Another suggestion that people have is that Jesus is making the world now a better place, helping the less fortunate, supporting the poor, improving society. I mean, it itself is not a bad thing, but is it really his agenda? Or perhaps we might throw some Bible verses into the mix. His agenda for us is to love God and love neighbor. Love the people around you. And surely that's a good thing, but I mean, it sums up the law, but is it really his agenda now? Or you might say, perhaps his agenda for us now is to endure to the end. To stand firm as a Christian, to stand firm till the day he returns. I mean, surely that's a good thing, but is that really his agenda. You see, different Christians, we point to different things as Jesus' agenda. But let me ask, which is his agenda? And so for this weekend, that's really the big thing that I want all of us here to be really clear about, to have absolute clarity what Jesus' agenda is. And I want all of us here to align our lives behind it. This week, we are looking into the book of Acts. And you know we're looking into the book of Acts because we made you do the longest Bible Unwrapped ever in the shortest amount of time. And it's also great because in the 10:30 service, we've been looking at Luke. And Luke is part one of a two-part series, Luke and Acts. And Luke and Acts, they're there to instill confidence into the reader, and that is Theophilus. And in your handout, you can flip to your handout. You can see a short excerpt there from Luke chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let me read it for you. That you may have certainty concerning the things that have been accomplished or fulfilled. Certainty is specific that Jesus is accomplishing or fulfilling all the promises of the Old Testament. He is the Messiah, the one that the Old Testament looked forward to. The promised king who will restore the kingdom. And you see, Acts is a really good place for us to consider this question because Theophilus, the original reader of Acts, he'll be asking the same question. See, Jesus has risen from the dead. He has proven himself to be the king of the world. But what is the king's agenda for his kingdom now? And you see, the tricky thing is, how do you find out about someone's agenda if you can't see him? How do you know someone's agenda if you can't ask him? And so at the very start of Acts, Luke records for us the passage that Michael just read for us, a very important episode that captures a conversation between his apostles and Jesus just before he goes up to heaven, so we can have absolute clarity of his agenda. The key verse for our talk today, tonight, and also for the weekend, is there in chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. But before we get there, let's start with the disciples' question. And I think the disciples there are asking the question, Jesus, what is your agenda? Look at verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He answered them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. You see, many people have puzzled over this question in verse 6. So some have suggested that the apostles' question is having wrong expectations that Jesus' mission is focused on the nation of Israel, a political or nationalistic focus on Israel. So they come together, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? But I want to suggest that it's probably not the case. Firstly, the apostles, they've been having an extended IGG Bible study for 40 days about the kingdom of God. So go to verse 3. So he, with Jesus and the apostles there, he presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And you see, for the disciples to ask about the kingdom in the nationalistic sense about Israel is basically ignoring all that Jesus was teaching them. So unless they were really slow learners or that Jesus was a really poor communicator, it's really unlikely that they would have completely misunderstood what the kingdom was about. Or maybe some other people suggest that the question in verse 6 is that they have understood the timing wrongly. So look down at verse 6 again. So Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And on this view, Jesus rebukes them and postpones the restoration to a later date. See his response. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now, I'm fairly sympathetic to this view. There's certainly a now but not yet element of the kingdom. Look at verse 10. And while they were gazing to heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking to heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. See, I think the point of the comment there by the two men in white, let's call them angels, was to indicate that Jesus still needs to come back to complete his job. So there's an interim period before the final completion of restoration. So there certainly is a now but not yet element of Jesus' kingdom. But I want to suggest there's a clue there that Jesus is already restoring the kingdom to Israel. So can you try to spot Israel in where Israel is in verse 8? So let me read verse 8 for you again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. You see, Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, that's Israel. That makes up the whole nation of Israel. So there seems to be a kind of restoration that's already happening. And so Jesus, he doesn't postpone the expectations. And so I think this, the apostles there, they were asking a really good question. They were basically asking, they had right expectations that Jesus was restoring the kingdom. And I think the question is good because they were asking the same question that Theophilus was asking. What is the king's agenda for his kingdom now? And it's also the great question is because that's the question we are asking this evening. What is Jesus' agenda before he returns? Look at verse 8. And his agenda involves them, the apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Yes, to the kingdom of Israel, but also to the ends of the earth, the whole world. So what is Jesus' agenda today? It is the gospel going global. It is gospel witnesses going global. You see, the witnesses going global to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth, that is the agenda for the book of Acts. These are geographical markers in Acts that forms key sections in the book of Acts. And Acts ends with Paul in Rome preaching the kingdom of God under house arrest. And you see how this is encouraging for Theophilus. So despite immense persecution that he sees the followers of Jesus facing, as long as the gospel was going global, he can have real certainty that Jesus' agenda is being carried out. But you see, the proclamation didn't stop there. The thing is, Jesus' agenda didn't stop with the book of Acts. His agenda, 2,000 years ago, is the same now. Jesus, he could come back before I finish the talk or before we finish the weekend or when you hit 30 or 50 or 80. But until then, his agenda hasn't changed. His agenda is still for the gospel to go global. And at this point, you might say, hey, wait, look at verse 8. It says you, and you there refers to the apostles. I mean, doesn't you there refer specifically to the apostles? I want to say, yes, that must be right. You is definitely the apostles. It must first start with them. You see, the apostles were chosen by him. They were the ones who touched the holes in his hands and his feet. But the whole narrative of Acts doesn't stop with the apostles. If you flip just a couple chapters down to chapter 7, you see different people who are non-apostles speaking about Jesus. So you see the title in chapter 7, Stephen's speech. So Stephen there, he's a non-apostle, but he carries the witness of resurrection and he gives the longest speech in Acts. In chapter 8, you have Philip, who's also another non-apostle proclaiming Jesus as the Christ. So you see, yes, it does start with the apostles because they define the message, but the role of speaking extends to every believer. So what is Jesus' agenda It is the gospel going global. Let's talk about our bosses at work. I'll share with you once I was working on a sales team, and there were 12 men in the team, and there was a lady boss in charge of the 12 men. And you can imagine the team was a really alpha. You know what it means? It's very it was a really alpha. It was not a good environment to work in, let's say. Okay. But the lady boss, the one thing about her, which was really good, she had absolute clarity about the team goals. Yes, you'd be compliant to regulations. Yes, to customer satisfaction. Yes, to sustainability. But the main goal for the team was to meet the sales target. You can substitute the equivalent in your industry, billable hours or other sales targets. I mean, it wasn't really the easiest environment to work in, but I was very clear about what my goal was. Should I spend my time on this or that? Well, the question is, does it bring more money for the team? Should I choose option A or B? Well, does it bring more money for the team? So everything that you did during your working hours or your non-working hours was to bring in more money for the team. It was very clarifying. And in one sense, Jesus' agenda is completely different because his agenda is not self-serving. End of the financial year, he doesn't have a big bonus waiting for him. But on the contrary, he offers life from death, free, for free and for all. But you see, in another sense, he's very similar because he gives us absolute clarity what his agenda is. So should you spend your time on this or that? Or does it serve the gospel going global? Should you choose option A or option B? Or does it serve the gospel going global? See, it's very clarifying. The gospel going global is a single agenda. And I want to say it's very interesting to consider what Jesus didn't say. He definitely didn't say, verse 8, but you will receive power and you will be comfortable and progress in life. You see, let your government's agenda, not Jesus' agenda. He didn't say you will receive power and go and make this world a better place. He didn't even say you will receive power to love God and love your neighbor or to stand firm and endure to the end. And notice he didn't even say you will receive power and you will have really good Bible handling skills. I mean, what a shocker. But you see, the thing is, it's not because these things are not important. See, these things are important, but it really isn't what Jesus said. I mean, loving God and loving your neighbor, standing firm, your Bible handling skills are all really important, but they're not ultimate for the age that we live in. See, the thing is, there will come a point in time where his agenda, it will end. There will come a time where he will come back. Proclamation will be no more. The work will be done. And for eternity, we will be loving God and loving neighbor. But before he comes back, the gospel must go global. And that's the thing that defines our existence. You see, it's the key reason why Jesus hasn't come back today and rolled up this whole earth. It is the key reason why he provides us our jobs to go back on Monday. It is the key reason why he provides food for us each day. It is the key reason why he provides air for us to breathe. I mean, the gospel going global is the key reason for our existence. I know this sounds maybe a bit stark, but I want to be honest with you. This is something that I've only really started grasping just about a year ago. You see, as a Christian, I always knew that evangelism was important. You see, I always knew it was important to speak to my friends, to my colleagues, to my family members. But the thought that it defines my existence, you see, that was a complete mind shift for me. So evangelism is not an optional tag on for the Christian. It's not a co-curricular activity. It is the reason for the Christian's existence. So I hope you don't hear me saying that all the goals that you wrote down for 2020 and 25 are not important. Like, relationships are important, your jobs are important, maturing as a Christian is also really important. Mahjong is also somewhat important. I enjoy a good game of mahjong as well, although I'm not very good. But I want to suggest that today's passage means that all these decisions must be driven by His agenda. So do your jobs serve the gospel going global? Or does your spiritual maturity serve the gospel going global? And I know it's not easy. We're going to spend more time this week thinking through this issue. We've got a panel session tomorrow afternoon to help us consider what this means practically. But for now, this is what the weekend away is all about. It's exactly like one of you wrote, is to know the purpose of our lives and to pursue the purpose of our lives. So we now know the purpose of our lives. It is to serve the gospel going global. So don't wait to 2025 to pursue it. Start pursuing it today. Let me pray. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Heavenly Father, we pray that you might help us to believe in Jesus' agenda. Father, we do recognize what he is saying, but yet, Father, you know how hard it is for us to fully grasp it. So please, we ask for your help to give us the strength to back the gospel going global. And so we ask this, that many will come to know you and call upon your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.